Well, if you're new with us tonight, or relatively new, welcome along. It's great to have you joining us. We're working our way through a really tough book in the Bible from the Old Testament called Isaiah. And this is the fifth sermon that we're preaching through Isaiah tonight. And I want to put it to you that the prophet Isaiah from 2,700 years ago is speaking to you and to your world just as clearly as he spoke to the world of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, that millennia ago, 2,700 years ago, the message is just as relevant and just as powerful to you. You might remember that last week, Isaiah was telling us that within this world system, there are two parallel cities that exist side by side with each other, and every person on earth belongs to one or the other of the cities. There is the strong city, and as Christians, people who are Christian people in the strong city are full of hope. But there is also life in the proud, lofty city, the city of this world, and this is the city where the non-Christian people are destined, in fact, for judgment and for punishment. And so what we need to do, realizing that there are those two cities and only two cities and everyone is in one or the other, you can't be in both, we need to tell people about that because there are so many people out there in our world who do not realize that in this world there are two parallel cultures and ways of living. There is the Christian world and there is the world against God. We need to be prophets within our own world, and I challenge the St. Mark's people this morning that when we have a large number of visitors and media and people like that coming along in 2 weeks to the opening of St. Mark's, at that time, they need to be getting alongside the newcomers who are in the lofty city of this world and don't realise that there is a strong city of God which they should belong to. And they need to be able to tell them about that in some way. It might be simply by inviting them, as Ben said, to come along to the church and hear more of these sorts of things as we open the Bible week by week. Or if some bold ones get the opportunity, they might be able to speak a little bit more boldly about the way things really are in our world underneath the human covers. Well, today we're going to look at chapters 36 to 39 in this tough book. And if you've got your Bible, I'm going to be doing a fair bit of bouncing around in those chapters, and it could be handy for you to be able to watch them as we get to them so that you can see how it all fits together. Yes, Tia did very well. Both readers did very well with all the names. We're going to explain some of that now, and I think you're going to come out the other end understanding what all of those readings with all those names and those places and those kingdoms and things are all about. So 36 to 39. It's focusing tonight on a king of the southern kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah, whose name was Hezekiah. And you remember that in Isaiah's time, Isaiah prophesied over a period of time in Israel's history that where there were four kings. Isaiah was the prophet while there were four kings in the southern kingdom of Judah, and those kings were Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. They were the four, and now we're on to the last one, the fourth one, Hezekiah. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a history lesson. We're going to use a map as well to work that out, to introduce ourselves to Isaiah himself. And we've got a map up there. We'll get there in a moment. At the time of Hezekiah, the nation of Assyria had just defeated Hoshea, who was the last king of northern Israel. Now, just go back for a bit of context. You remember that there was King David, and after King David was Solomon. After King Solomon, there was political strife within Israel, and the kingdom separated into two parts. 10 tribes in the northern kingdom followed one leader, and 2 tribes in the southern kingdom followed another leader, and the two parts separated. And from then on, the north kingdom was called Israel, and the south kingdom was called Judah. King Hezekiah is in the south kingdom, Judah. And this Hoshea that we hear about is the last king of the northern kingdom. Why is he the last king? Good question. Well, it's because what was going on is that the Assyrians had come down and they had invaded. So Ben's showing where the nation of Assyria is, And he's going to show us where the north kingdom of Israel is. And the Assyrians came down and they nabbed the northern kingdom, as they tended to do. They were the world power at the time. And they took the northern Israelites, 10 tribes, back up into the whole Assyrian Empire. And they didn't just plant them in one place, like in a special city or something, where they could just remain Israelites and, you know, have their own culture and their own language and their own worship and all that. The Assyrians had a very smart relocation policy when they conquered enemies. And what the Assyrians used to do is they'd conquer an enemy and then would disperse them over the whole of the Assyrian Empire. And so they'd get integrated into it. And they would lose their own nationality. They'd lose their language, they'd lose their currency, and they would lose their god, because they would be assimilated into the Assyrian Empire. And that's exactly what happened with the northern kingdom of Israel. And 10 tribes of Israel were lost. They were never heard of again, because they had rebelled against their god, and God gave them up. And they jumped over from the strong city of God, which is where their heritage was, where they should have been, and they chose to go to the lofty city to follow all the idols and all that sort of stuff, to do it in their own strength, in their own way. Sound familiar to our world? My own strength, my own way. Me, the most important person in the world. Now, while all that was going on in the northern kingdom of Israel, and defeat came to them, King Hezekiah, as a young man of only 25 years of age, began his reign in the southern kingdom. And his kingdom is where Ben's showing. That's about where Jerusalem is. And the kingdom of Judah was around that particular area. Now, King Hezekiah was a real standout king in Judah. The Bible says from 2 Kings chapter 18 that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. That's a good place to start, isn't it? He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. Listen to it. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands that the Lord had given Moses. How would you like that as a testimony on your gravestone? That you trusted the Lord. That there was no one like you. There was no one like that lady. She trusted God with her children and her household, and the Lord blessed her because she kept his commandments. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. In everything that Hezekiah undertook in the service of God's temple, and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God. How'd you like that, gentlemen? The testimony of you, in everything he sought his God. And he worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. The Lord blessed this guy. Well, the Assyrians didn't rest on their laurels. They had invaded the northern kingdom, defeated them, and assimilated them through their nation. Well, what do you think they did then? Do you think they were just going to sit back and be satisfied? Not likely. The Assyrians then turned their eyes back south towards the southern kingdom, who hadn't been conquered. And they were looking at Jerusalem for conquest. And they came and they surrounded the holy city of Jerusalem, in which were living King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah. And the Bible says there was 185,000 of them surrounding Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? There's all these Assyrians. Yes, as the king of Assyria boasted, they had been able to defeat all these local kings around the place, and they had been able to defeat King Hoshea up north, and arrogantly came down and said, "Why do you think that the king of Assyria is not going to be able to beat you as well? Do you trust in your God, the Lord? Don't worry about trusting in him. The king of Assyria has been able to beat every god." And they made these great big boasts. That was part of the reading that we had. Well, what was Hezekiah going to do? What would you do? Would you panic? There's 185,000 troops around you and your city is under siege. You can't get out. No one can get in. No food to come in, no water to come in, no communication to go out. What is Hezekiah going to do? Well, the Bible says that Hezekiah took the problem to God. And I would suggest to you that was a good move. So God's message came back to Hezekiah through Isaiah the prophet, and this is what he said. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will defend this city, Jerusalem, and I will save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. Now listen to this one. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. Didn't need to call in the Egyptians. Didn't need a NATO alliance. Didn't need an ANZAC policy with our helpers in various countries all over the place. The Lord came in answer to Hezekiah's faithful position to him and said, I will look after this city. And the Bible says, by the angel of death, blotted out 185,000 in one hit. And if you want to read more of the details, that's an interesting story to keep reading and you have a look at this section in your own Bible. You'll be able to find that at the end of chapter 37 if you want to look it up later on for yourself. Friends, this raises a big question for us tonight. And it's a question that the Israelites would have to have asked as well. The people of the southern kingdom of Judah saw their godly king. They saw how he prayed to God and had faith in God. And they started putting two and two together and thinking about the prophetic passages that had been spoken to them by Isaiah in earlier times. Do you remember about 3 weeks ago, Ben preached on Isaiah chapter 11? And I'll just read a bit. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. You see, the prophet had said that out of the shambles of King David's kingdom that got split in two by the wickedness and the rebellion against God's law and by human pride and all of those sorts of things, the thing that caused division and, as it were, chopped off the stump of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. The promise was that it wasn't going to stay that way. It wasn't just going to be Israel chopped down to nothing and dead forever. God promised that a shoot was going to come up out of that chopped down stump, and that was going to be the shoot of the root of Jesse. King David's kingdom was going to go on. Now, I wonder if your local Israelite who saw that through his faith, King Hezekiah came directly to God and God listened to him and God answered him, and then they saw 185,000 enemy soldiers down dead and could go out and pillage their camp, and saw the Assyrian king run with his tail between his legs back to Assyria. I wonder if they started thinking, who is this king that we've got? Could this king be the prophesied shoot from David's kingdom who is going to be our saviour? He saved us from the Assyrians. Could this be the saviour from Israel's enemies? Well, I want to keep reading that part from chapter 11. In that day, said Isaiah, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria. The remnant is going to be reclaimed from the Assyrians. The people could see that. They knew that passage of scripture from Isaiah, their prophet. And they probably started thinking, I wonder if this is going to be the saviour, if this is going to be the Messiah. Well, what we've got is the record of Hezekiah, and we now need to see how Hezekiah turned out in the end. We go to chapter 38 of Isaiah for this as we keep bouncing through our Bibles. And we find out that in chapter 38, if you've got an NIV Bible, it's headed Hezekiah's illness. So Hezekiah, the standout godly king, got sick, and he got deathly sick. And we need to see what came from this illness. Now, God's word came through the prophet Isaiah to the king. And this was the word. It's in Isaiah 38:1-6. I'm going to read it to you. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die and you will not recover." Pretty clear, isn't it? But look at verse 2. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then verse 4. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. "Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city." So, God's word came and said, it's time to die. But Hezekiah didn't want that. I wonder if some of us, when we face a deathly medical issue or face things that we don't understand that are of life and death importance in our world, come before God and our prayer is always, "Heal me, Lord, heal me, save me, make it right." I wonder if Hezekiah, in fact, made a bit of a mistake there when he said, "Don't let me die, God, don't let me die," and cried about it. It may not have been such a good move. Well, he got 15 additional years because he asked God and God gave it to him. And if you keep reading chapter 38, you'll find out that he writes a glorious song of praise to God. That's good. However, if we keep reading, we find out that two bad things came from Hezekiah's 15-year life extension. The first one was that 3 years later, after he got healed, miraculously by God, a son was born, and his name was Manasseh. And I want to tell you what the Bible says about Manasseh. Remember how good Hezekiah was. The Bible says Manasseh did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations that the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And that was the first bad thing that happened. If Hezekiah had not had the 15-year extension, he wouldn't have borne that wicked son who led Israel right back to the way the surrounding nations, the idolatrous nations, were behaving. And a second thing happened in that 15 years. Ben, if he's got the map again, is just going to show us that there is another empire brooding and growing in world power. And they are down to the southeast of the Assyrians, and they're called the Babylonians. It's the nation of Babylon. And some of you who have been with us for a fair while here will remember when I preached that series out of Daniel and we talked about the land of Shinar, that scary place. The land of Shinar is the land of Babylon. And the Babylonian Empire is bubbling along all this history while all this history is going on. And the Babylonians sent an envoy over to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah showed them the entire stock of all of his wealth, all of his military power, all of his political power, his palace. There was nothing in his palace, the Bible says, or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. So the Babylonians come over, and Hezekiah just opens the door of the whole of Judah to this empire. Tell me, if you had someone who was a stranger, but they were pretty glamorous, righto, and you thought, "Oh, I want to impress them," came into your home and you had them there for dinner, would you take them into your office and take the picture down from the wall and show them your wall safe? where all of your wealth and all your documents are held, would you give them the combination and say, look at what I've got. I've got title deeds and I've got gold and I've got bank accounts in here and all the rest of it. And I want to tell you about where my children all go to school, and I want to boast to you about how great everything is. Well, that's basically what he was doing, what Hezekiah was doing in this last 15 years to the Babylonian envoys who came across. Well, Isaiah had something to say from God about this. He said, chapter 39, we're in now verse 5, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left. Whoa. It brings us back to the big question again, doesn't it? Is Hezekiah the shoot of the stump of Jesse? Is he Israel's Messiah? Well, I think we'd have to say he was a good king, but he still had human weaknesses, just like us, didn't he? He had his own fears and he had his own faults. He was faithful to God to an extraordinary extent, but he wasn't able to save Judah from God's coming judgment, and he wasn't able to save them from exile to Babylon. He was definitely a link in the line of David, as was promised by God. God said there's always going to be someone in your line who will sit on the throne if you obey me. He was definitely one of the links in the line of David, part of the promise. But he was not the shoot from Jesse. He wasn't the root that was going to come. He would not raise a banner for all the nations of the earth. He was not going to gather the exiles of Israel from Assyria back again. And he was not going to be able to assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Hezekiah wasn't able to bring Jews back from Germany and back from Europe and back from Asia and back from America to come back into the promised land. Hezekiah was not able to do that. You see, the shoot from the stump of Jesse has to be a king who is much, much bigger than Hezekiah. Now, I have only ever had one monarch rule over me in my whole lifetime. And I think Queen Elizabeth has been a pretty good king, queen. I've never had a king. I think Queen Elizabeth has been a godly queen. She publicly testifies that she's a Christian woman. She, by the way she rules, shows that she rules subject to God Almighty, the God of the Bible. And she's done that for the whole of my lifetime. She was already queen when I was born, and she's still queen now. I've seen some US presidents who I would call real statesmen. There's been some active Christians amongst the US presidents that I've been able to see, and they've been noble. Mike Baird, I think, was a good premier of New South Wales. He was a publicly proclaiming Christian man, goes to church week by week, and I thought that he was a great premier, a great leader. And you all know that I talk about Dr. Billy Graham, Reverend Dr. Billy Graham, a lot. He has been the standout godly church leader for the whole of the globe of the world. For four generations of people, there is no one in our world history like Billy Graham who has been God's man publicly speaking literally to millions upon millions upon millions of people face to face in his career, in his crusade career as an evangelist. But none of those people have been able to gather the whole of the world's people together to present them ready to God. The Queen can't present you ready to God. Billy Graham can't present you ready to God. They can't make you ready for the judgment of God on Judgment Day. They can't provide you with the hope of an unchallenged and an absolutely sure entrance into God's heaven. Mike Baird can't take you into heaven. He can't appear before God's judgment seat for you and bring you into heaven. Isaiah reminds us again, it's only Jesus Christ that can do that. Do you remember last week I said to you that in the book of Isaiah, this tough book, that it points over and over again to Jesus. It's crystal clear that it's pointing to the Messiah. And that's Jesus. Because only Jesus is able to actually take you to the gates of heaven and allow you to be ushered in there. He can only do, he only can do the things that the rest of the world's leaders, no matter how good or how God-fearing they may be. So, what do we do in our church? Well, we do encourage Christian leadership. We should encourage Christians to be going into politics and into business and into family leadership and church leadership. We should be encouraging them, and we should be thankful for Christian leadership during these latter days of our world's history. But we've got to keep our sights on Christ as the only way of salvation. You see, he is the one who is the promised stump of Jesse. He is the one. And he is the only king above all kings. So our sermon topic tonight was Hezekiah, king above kings. But it's only Jesus who is the king of all kings. And so what you need to do and what I need to do is to follow him. Amen.